Hello and welcome to Light Warrior Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Kahn, author of the number one best-selling book, Sensitivity is Your Superpower, How to Harness the Gifts, Fulfill Your Purpose, and Create a Life of Joy. And if you are a highly sensitive person, someone who I call a sensitive soul, I would love to gift you my Sensitive Soul Empowerment Guide, the three ways of navigating your way to more peace, positivity, and personal power. Lots of P's there in that sentence. And you can actually go to sensitivesoulguide.com and get that free download and also get a warm welcome to our Light Medicine community on Circle as well. So today on Light Warrior Radio, I have the very, very, very honored feeling of welcoming my soul brother, Terrence Lamont Bellows, to Light Warrior Radio. We are going to be talking about immortality consciousness, and Terrence Lamont actually met through a sacred economy movement, and we have connected on a deeper level based on elemental journeys and really healing blocks within ourselves and our community. And it's been a really beautiful journey. And we were chatting about a lot of different things. And Terrence Lamont was saying something about immortality consciousness. And I'm like, oh, I think we need to talk about this on Light Warrior Radio. So I invited him on the show today. And we're going to do some free flow stuff. So we're going to kind of tune in and tap into what's coming up as we continue here. And let me tell you a little bit about my friend here. So Terrence Lamont goes by both names. Together as one. Sometimes I forget and just call him Terrence. So connected to Christ consciousness and aware of all experiences that come with being in this wonderful physical dimension, he is being one day more and more clearly. I definitely resonate with that one. There's a realm of infiniteness and nothingness that we all emanate from simultaneously. And with the aid of Shakyamuni Buddha, I probably butchered that, Terrence Lamont comes into sharing and giving from this holy place as he's able to on a constant basis. Gloria and Excelsius Deo. Thank you. And I think Terrence recently got some acting gigs here because I was telling Terrence Lamont, his voice is so amazing. He definitely had to do something like that because you just like, boom, it just resonates like this amazing vibration. So welcome Terrence Lamont to the show.
Yay. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Dr. Karen. Yeah.
This is great awesome. To have you here. Yeah. Tell us more about your journey. Maybe a little bit about how you got to be like the director of the School of Metaphysics and all that cool stuff and acting and yeah, all the cool spiritual stuff you're into right now.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. So I want to make sure I remember Shakyamuni Buddha is just actually Gautama, the main Buddha that we all, the guy we all call Buddha. Ah. So, yeah. So he's not the only one, obviously. So there's a way that they have found to identify them with these different names. I don't know a lot about it, but I just know that I'm connected to him. So I'm not Buddhist, but, but we're connected. So, so I have been, I'm thinking about the main answer to your question and when I try to find it, it has to start with, becoming sober. So when I was 16, I started drinking alcohol and smoking marijuana and some other little things, in there as far as substance abuse goes. And so from 16 all the way through until I was about 10, 11 years. I was about 28, I think, actually. So about 12 years. I was Mr., party animal, whatever. I just did all the crazy things. And I was doing that stuff before I was 16 because before I was 16, I did have a couple of near-death experiences. I had some like epiphany type experiences, some light field, like awarenesses, connection with disincarnate entities of different kinds. Mm. When I was younger and I didn't understand it and I just didn't want to do it anymore. I didn't want to deal with it. I was just like, I got drunk one day and I was like, it was like some kind of ethereal type experience that could replace that. you know, what I could call my real self. So it was kind of like me masking. So I said, I don't have to deal with, I can do this. And then I don't even have to deal with that stuff. And so I went through this like 12 year battle of fighting myself and trying to understand who I really was. But it was like, there was not a way that I could stay away from it. And so even all that I was doing to hide, that essence still came through, that light still shone. And as it was shining, there was this experience also of mental awarenesses that I couldn't deny. And I didn't, you know, I had to respond to them. So there were ways that I was being moved and, you know, directed inwardly. And my friend likes to say your inner self, you know, he just likes to just waddle it down to your inner self. But there's all kinds of things that are happening in there. You know, there's lots of different opportunities and entities and levels and all different kinds of stuff that is happening in there. And so as I began to decide that I needed to stop drinking and stop, you know, basically killing myself, once I decided I was going to stop doing that, then it was almost immediate that these awarenesses started coming through more clearly. Things started to happen, physical things would happen, and I'd be able to see. I'd be like, oh, this is a message. You know, I could understand that people would come into my life and they would suggest things to me, like, for instance, Think and Grow Rich. It's a wonderful book by Napoleon Hill, one of the most best-selling books of all time. Was working at a hospital that my mom helped me get into. Thank God for mothers, right? And so it was like my first real job, right? And so I'm pushing this guy outside. I was an orderly or a transporter. So I'm taking this guy out. He's just finished his surgery. And he asked me some questions. I gave him like a couple of different answers. And he was somebody who can see. So that's what I want to talk about with immortality consciousness, is this way that I'm attracted to people, first of all, who can see, like you. And then I know how to identify them. So it's not that I would come in contact with these people and not know who they are. I know how to understand who they are, you know, and sometimes they, you know, they don't know who they are for whatever reason. I didn't know who I was because I was drinking. Right. But other people had different experiences. So that was my experience. I didn't know who I really was, but this guy could see me. And so he asked me a couple of questions and I just gave him some really basic answers and he's probing me, you know, he's listening. You know, and he said, you should read a book called Think and Grow Rich. And I was like, what? It's like, yeah, you should read it. And I was like, okay. He's like, Napoleon Hill, you should read this book. I'm a 26-year-old kid, 27-year-old, you know, kid. And I'm like, whatever. I didn't even really read at that point, right? I read some books and, you know, for school and college or whatever, right? But I wasn't like a reader, you know, so I was like, whatever, okay. And so a couple of weeks later, I go into the dentist. And somebody, or I don't know, something, I don't know what, left Think and Grow Rich on the table.
That's so awesome. I love those.
It's like, what is this? I was like, hold on a second. This is what this dude was talking about. You know? And I just, I don't know if we want to call it, I stole the book. I don't know where the damn book came from. I don't
permanently know where it
there. You know, but I was like, this is for me. You know, and so took the book and started reading it. And that's really where I got this idea of how to really communicate with disincarnate entities is from Napoleon. He called it your individual counselors. And so these could be anybody. They could be people who were alive or people who had passed away. It didn't matter. He just knew that you can tap in and communicate with
that's
them.
That's right. And, yeah, you can tune into Tesla, right? Or whoever. Yeah.
Whoever. Yeah. Washington, you know, Lincoln, you know, Martin Luther King, whoever, you know. And so that's where I started to work this into my life on purpose. You know, and yeah, so I would sit down with them and I would connect with them and like have a council meeting, you know, with these, you know, intelligent, enlightened spirits. And so that catapulted me into, after I stopped drinking and I started doing that a little bit, that catapulted me into finding the School of Metaphysics. Because at that time in my life, I really needed a teacher. I needed somebody to help me, you know, navigate this experience. And so the School of Metaphysics is that kind of an organization. It provides teaching, it provides guidance, it provides a spiritual community. And it just, it helps you, to, it guides very, very beautifully. And so now I'm a teacher, I'm a, the director here in the St. Louis area, St. Louis, Missouri. And I have that privilege. And you were talking about peace real quickly. I'm also what we call the National Peace Ambassador. And so I work with manifesting, understanding on a deeper level, and gathering the energies of peace, you know, for not only myself, but for the greater community as well.
Nice. Now, is that through the School of Metaphysics?
That's through the School of Metaphysics. Okay. But I, you know, me being who I am and this light that I have, you know, within me and this, you know, who I am, it obviously I expand outside of the School of Metaphysics.
Right,
but at
right.
the same time, we're all one, right, essentially. So there's that experience that I'm having where I'm connecting with people for the purpose of peace, you know.
Yes, yes. Oh, that's really cool. Now, how did you either not necessarily come up with the term, but like what does immortality consciousness, what is that?
What is that, right?
Yeah.
So it's I can tell you, maybe we'll start with what it's not and then we'll come into what it is.
Perfect.
So it's not fear of death.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So there's that.
There's a lot of that going around.
There's a lot of that going around. so that's like the basis almost. One of the teachers that I love to listen to who's not in the School of Metaphysics, Richard Rudd, Gene Keys, you know, he created the Gene Keys. He's somebody who helps me with understanding how to speak about this and getting a better feel for it. But it is, in a way, it is what he talked about in his, in the Gene Keys book. It's the movement out of the fear of death, the realization that we are not single, right? Yes, I'm here right now looking at you on the screen and other people are listening to us and they have their own two ears, right? And their own two eyes watching us and seeing us. Although that's a multifaceted experience. That's a holographic experience, which I'm sure your people, whoever like listens to this, have heard 100 times and they maybe have experienced it. So that holographic nature is why and where we come from. So that is why we are immortal. And that is where we have our basis, right? That's where we have our, that connecting link, which you stated that I, you know, what I was talking about it as the realm of infiniteness and nothingness simultaneously all at once. And so in that particular little space, that's not a place, it's not somewhere you can walk up to, right? But, you know, but it exists, it is real. And in that place, that's where we all emanate from. And so there is nothing else except that. So then that makes death an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes the fear of death a gigantic problem for those of us who are all immortal. But so the, what is what? Why the two words? Why immortal consciousness? Because the way that we think is what tells us what we're experiencing.
Right.
So if we keep thinking that there is death and that there's a reason to be afraid, and we watch TV and we listen to these commercials about medicine and all this stuff, which you know all about, right? They, you know, tell us that we're, you know,
watch the news.
Watch the news, watch any soap opera, you know, whatever, you know, you know, it's all over the place. You should be afraid. Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen to your family. Be afraid. You know, and so when we keep hearing things over and over again, well, we get indoctrinated and we begin to believe that they are true. And so the consciousness needs to be owned. I have to own my own brand of who I am, this I amness. And I have to recognize and realize, what is my truth here? Do I really believe that? Or is this something that has been beaten into my brain over and over again and I can't see now, you know? So that's the movement.
Oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And do you find personally that you like stay in immortality conscious most of the time, or is it like a vacillation back and forth? Like sometimes you're like having a human moment and you're like, wait a second. Because I know I do. I definitely have these human moments, you know, where it's like, oh my gosh, my dad's, you know, blood levels are 50% what they're supposed to. He could be dying tomorrow, right? And I go, wait a second. Hang on, right?
So it's an experience. I mean, death is a thing. It
It's a
exists,
thing. Yeah.
you know. Although where does it exist? You know, so when my attention goes into fear or worry or doubt, then I know that I'm not living in the truth. I know I'm not experiencing consciously the truth. So we have the burn, right, that we can do in our sacred economy. So that's always valuable. Whenever I notice that, I can say, wait a minute, let me use the spirit of fire to release myself from this fear. Because there's also, here's the wonderful thing, the yin and yang symbol, right? You know, that's so important. The Tao, you know, that understanding that all things are balanced is so important, right? So there's black and there's white, you know, and or most of the time there's two contrasting colors with that symbol, right? And then there's the empty hole, and then there's the hole with light in it, basically, right? So there's the darkness and the light in this image. So why has that lasted for centuries? And everybody works with that, accepts it, sees it as a value. Well, the deep reality of it is that there is always light and there is always dark and there is beauty in both. And so when we do experience these things that maybe we don't want, fear, doubt, worry, concern, whatever that is, and I don't want to, this does this this I don't like this. So when you get into that I don't like nature, some people don't like light, right? So does that make them wrong or weird or bad? You know, so that's where this balance has to come into play. So there's always darkness, there's always light, and there's beauty in both. So it's the experience of what do I want? What is my preference? What's going to move me forward? What's going to help me create what I want? Are horror movies evil? Right? You know, it's like it's an opportunity for somebody to have fun. Some people want to ride a roller coaster. They want to be scared, right? They want to experience fear. It's exciting to for some people. I don't. I despise roller coasters. I would be fine if there were no.
I
Well, see, there you go, right? It's a different
Yeah.
person. You know, like
So
I do
funny.
not like roller coasters. So I'm just like so it's like, does that mean they're evil? You know, no. It just means that's my preference, you know? And
Right. Like
so
that's what you want, you that that's what you desire to experience in this human form. Or I like that. Well, that comes to another part where, you know, let's just say, you know, there's a lot of very, you know, spiritual, maybe sometimes religious people. And I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this question, but it just popped up. So we're going with it. So I'm seeing on Facebook, right, about this meme that people like, that it's not resonating with me. Okay.
Got it.
The idea of the meme is that there's a winner and a loser. And the meme is God wins. So on some level, I was like, well, okay, like what does that mean? But the people who are sharing the meme are basically saying there's all these bad, evil people in the world. They're doing all these terrible things. There are, you know, alien overlords or human or whatever, right? But in the end, God wins, right? God wins over. So that's the energy that I'm feeling, you know, from some of the folks, and some of those are, you know, friends of mine. It's not like, you know, they're just strangers. But there's something about that that doesn't feel right to me personally. So I'm just curious, how would that fit into the whole immortality consciousness, and, you know, that whole we come from this hologram of the one, like in your personal perception.
Perception, right? Okay, so the let's see here. All right. Well, this is a good question. So first of all, we can start with God. It's like what are they talking about, right? It's like what went on Facebook, in the Bible, in some other book, a conversation on the street with somebody. people say this word, God, it's written, God. And so there's, that's where we have to start, is what is that for that person? And for most of us, it is the light, right? It is the thing that feels good, the bright, shiny thing, the thing that's positive, you know, that always gives, you know, in some traditions, it can be angry or whatever, we personify it, but let's don't talk about that right now. Let's just say, what if this thing they're calling God always wins, it appears that this is the good thing. You know, there's always good, always prevails over evil, right? And so there's that, and then there's the end. What in the world is the end? You know, it's like, what? So that infiniteness of what God actually is has no end, and we are as God, we are of God. So then that's where mentality consciousness comes into play. We have no end. So that's a perception that we're working with when we say God always wins in the end. I have to create this thought form in my mind that there is a beginning of this thing that I'm talking about and that there is an end of this thing that I'm talking about. And so that's personal. That's not universal. You know, because I have to be the one who chooses what the end is, or at least accept somebody else's idea of what the end is. So we could look at it like, let's talk about criminality, for instance. So there's this guy who commits a crime, and now he's going to go to jail. He gets caught, goes to jail. And now, is that the end, that he went to jail? You know, for some people it is. It's not for him, you know, because he's got to go through this process still. So who's winning? You know, where is
right.
God in that? You know,
right. And so, well, and just to be fair, most of the time it's God wins, but that's it. But I'm adding in the end, because that's the energy that I get from the people posting it. It's like, yeah, all these bad things are happening over and over, and then the next thing, bad thing. But God wins, you know.
Yeah. Like, so they're right. So it's
there
like,
is a finiteness to it.
So what I would hope for is that people would come to a conclusion that I am God. I am the God that I'm talking about,
yeah.
Right? So I'm going to be the one who knows if I have achieved, or if I have received, or if I have understood, or if I have changed, and then I can mark that, you know, I can say, okay, that's the end. You know, I just learned something from this experience. That's the end of this experience for me and my own conscious perception of this moment and this thing.
Right. As opposed to some white guy in a beard up here on a cloud winning, because there's some war being waged here down on Earth.
And this guy has emotions and, you know, and all this stuff. And he cares about if this person does this or this person does that. You know, it's like, that's not real, you know. So,
well, it's like they say that we are in the likeness of God, but it seems to me sometimes it's the other way around, that we've created, you know, most of our perceptions that God is in the likeness of us. Because I didn't really understand growing up how this thing that I was told to believe in, which I really did, I was very religious when I was younger, and didn't become unreligious until my boyfriend and university told me all the terrible things the Christian Crusades did that I didn't know about. And then I was totally like, you know, like shocked and became an atheist. So I really did think that everything that I was told was absolutely true, and that the God was outside of myself, and I was to pray to this being, or this, you know, bigger than life person, you know, to help me out. And it was like a prayer of supplication and like, please help me, please, you know, like that kind of thing. I never thought about me being God. In fact, my mom would even say, she's hilarious. She's like, thank God that we are not the gods. They have so much work to do. I know, right?
Yeah,
that's
so awesome.
Funny.
Yeah. So there is, so that idea, right, of that word gets a lot of people, a lot of people don't like to say it, right?
Yeah.
There's a perception around it because of Christianity, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's Christianity. That's not God. right?
Okay. Okay.
So there's this idea that is purported by the Christian perspective, like what you're saying, that there is this key, you know, out there, and that we need to be concerned about what we're doing based on his desires, based on what he wants us to do. If we don't do what he wants us to do, then we're bad, you know, all of that stuff, right? So that's out there, and that's a big deal. That's huge, you know. So then there's another way we could say there's different words, right? Source, creator, all that is.
Infinite,
you know, all these, there's other words we could say this, and it's the same. So all of that resonates. I also love Hawkins, David R. Hawkins. He wrote a book called Power Versus Force, and he has the map of consciousness, right? And so I love how he helps us to understand the reality, the truth, is one of the things that he talks, that he does. You know, he has the map of consciousness. And so he calibrates these words that I'm saying, all that is, infinity, God, creator, source, they all calibrate at 1,000. They all are the same. You know, so what does that mean? Well, it's an idea within consciousness. It's what is it within consciousness. So it doesn't matter what we necessarily call it or how we try to personify it. You know, it doesn't respond to that. You know, it's infinite. It's beyond that. And so if we are going to be connected with it, then we have to shut up. You know, we have to close our self, this ego, this thinking, this I know, all of that part of ourselves has to let go. It has to be released so that we can be in that space of infiniteness and nothingness all at once. And so when you can drop your preferences, as some like to say, and you let go of the good and the bad and the right and the wrong, and you just be, then you'll know that and you'll be able to be there in that moment. But then in that moment, you still will realize I have this physical body.
Right.
You know, I'm still here, you know. So then it's like, okay, well, now what is your choice? You know, what do you, from that space, what do you choose?
Yes. Well, and that's exactly been my experience over the last several years, is that the beingness, and my first, you know, one of my first spiritual teachers said to me, it was very, very smart. I didn't get it at the time, but as you know, I'm a big doer. Right. Love doing things. Very, you know, love
and
doing this,
you
loving
get
doing
things
that.
Done. Yeah. You
yeah.
Get
I do
done.
Get things done. Right. And I'm one of those folks. So type A, as they used to say. And she was very kind and said it in a way where I didn't get defensive. Yeah. She says, you know, Karen, what you'll realize is it's not so much what it is that you do, but who you are as a being, as you're doing what you're doing. That makes the biggest difference. Yes. And that's how you're going to change the world. And I was like, it really sat with me. That's not exactly what she said, but that, you know, more or less paraphrases it. So it's my beingness that heals the world, not my doing all this stuff for people. Huh? You know? But now it's like, oh, that totally makes sense to me now. Because as I'm being, and then that stillness that you're talking about, connecting to that infinite nothing, you know, all at the same time, that's when the miracles tend to show up, or at least in the 3D physical world that I'm observing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like, whoa, that's a synchronicity. This person showed up, this opportunity showed up, and this connected with this and this. It's like, whoa, this is fun, guys, right?
Yeah,
so life can be fun. And let's talk a little bit about challenges.
Okay.
Challenges. I know you kind of delved a little bit into that, but let's go deeper into it, because, you know, sometimes people have that sense of, okay, Terrence Lamont, Dr. Karen, I'm meditating, you know, I'm working on my vibration, I'm feeling more peace. Well, how come this bad thing happened?
Yeah.
Right? How come my car broke down? How come I lost my job? How come my dog got sick? Is it my fault? Like, what am I doing wrong? So the common question is, what am I doing wrong and how can I do it better? So would love your take on how to answer that.
That's awesome. So it's the fix it. That's what I hear is, you
How do I
know,
fix
it's
it?
like, yeah, how do I fix it? You know, it's like, well, what are you gonna fix? You know, what are we trying to fix here? Are we trying to change reality? You know, is that is you know, I
Obviously,
don't
it's like, I do not prefer this current reality. I'm doing my best to like have not have pain. And why do I have pain? Right? That's the underlying question.
And it's like, well, it's because you're here. You know, it's like this. How long has this been going on? You know, did the dinosaurs not feel pain? You know, I mean, everything that has ever entered into this physical reality came into this physical reality with the same basic parameters. You know,
parameters. I like that.
Yeah, we have these certain box that we're in because we chose to come here and be in these physical bodies. The soul is present, but the soul is not the body. So the soul is there's a difference, right? There's that projection. We're a projection of our higher self, our soul, our spirit, our godness. You know, we're a projection of that. So in this more dense reality, people are, see, when we start learning people, what the people you're saying, what they're talking about is, oh, my perception is moving out of this physical world. And in that place, oh, things are so wonderful. And it's easy. And it feels good over here. You know, I can
ease
talk
and
to
grace, we call it.
I can talk to my guides, and I can have all this, you know, this is cool. I can meditate, you know, and it's like, oh, I feel good, right?
Everything
like,
happens okay. for me, and we expect that to mean, like, there are no problems.
There are no problems, but no, that's not where this is. This is physical. You can break your arm. You know, you can get sick here, and that's good. That's actually a positive, you know, that your dog can get sick. Actually, or die, because you can then build from that. You can Ooh. Learn from that, you know?
Okay, I'm having that French Fresh Prince part where he says, what you talking about, Willis?
The moments that we have understanding is why we're here. We're here for that. So some people like to just call it learning. So why is my body, why does it exist? This is not all that is. My attention is here. So why is my attention here? It's here so there can be a cycle of this happens, whatever this is. I can observe this, and then I can make decisions based on what I'm observing, and I can see how my creation then works. There's the infiniteness that we're talking about, the God that doesn't learn. It doesn't, you know, do things in the similar way that we do here. So there is that kind of split attention that is occurring as we are on the planet. And in that splitness and that secondary viewpoint, you know, that we're looking at ourselves from, there's a learning opportunity here. So the things that happen, whether we like them or we don't, we can learn from them. We gain something as a soul. So that we get to the point where we now remember and understand that we are the same stuff as God.
Mm.
Jesus said, greater works than these, so shall you do.
Right.
Be perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect. You know, so he was trying to teach us. He was trying to show us that there are these little nuances that are happening, these little things that we call problems or challenges or whatever we want to call them. Can we reverse that energy? Can they be opportunities? Can they be learning experiences? So it's like, how do you move? If you can move your attention just a little bit, then you can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we cry. Yes, we feel pain. You know, all of that is true. But is it really bad? Is how we have to think about it. Why is it bad? Who said it's bad?
Who labeled it that way, right?
Who labeled it that way?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's well, I used to be, you know, I grew up, you know, with that belief that if I did everything right, if I did everything I was told to do, if I was compliant, then I would have a beautiful, happy life because I wouldn't make any mistakes. And I think to this day, I think my mom and her and I are super, super close. I think she still has some of that belief, but it hasn't borne out in reality, in the life that I observe anyway. And what I realized is I was so afraid of mistakes, of making mistakes, I couldn't be joyful. I couldn't be happy. I was just always worried I was going to screw up. And every moment was that you talked about fear earlier. Every moment was about avoiding getting in trouble or avoiding making a mistake. And I couldn't really live and enjoy my life because it was always about doing the right thing. And I think some people get into anxiety because of that.
That's the very first, that's the first step, right? When you start, you're told that, you start trying to do that over and over again, and you notice it's not working, then anxiety, that's the first thing that shows up. And then that leads you into the medicine, right? And so, not the medicine of the elements, like what we talk about, but the medicine of science, right? So now, oh, we're gonna change your mood, we're gonna fix you. And it's like, no, this is important, that I have this experience so I can go deeper and get clear about this. And you can keep going through those experiences, those pain, suffering, and you can learn. This is the immortality piece, the immortality consciousness. You keep going through those experiences, and you keep realizing over and over again, I made it. Look at me. I'm still here. I can. How am I still here? If this was so bad, why didn't I disintegrate? It's like, what am I still doing here? And it's like, oh, because you still have something to build. You still have something to create. So you take that pain and you create. I had a friend.
I like that.
Somebody walked by my building a couple of weeks ago, and she said, she was just talking about how she like some. I was with another friend, and we both were talking to her, and we just met her. One of us somehow the phrase "How are you doing?" came up, right? Something like that. So we're talking about how we're doing, and she said, "You know what? I have made it through 100% of my bad days." And I was like, "Wow, that's right. So am I. So." I think I'm doing pretty damn good, because I have.
Yeah, that's a good point. I wonder whether, I don't know how that even got conditioned, that phrase got conditioned within us. How are you doing? It's funny because in Australia they say, how are you going? And in North America we usually answer incorrectly. We say, well, by car, how are you going?
Right.
Right? They're like, no, North American talk. Okay, how are you doing? Right. So, but more accurately, not well, maybe not accurate is the right word, but would be, how are you being?
Yes, that's the landing point, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and I like to look at it like we say human being. I like
Yeah.
to play with that and say a soul being human on earth. And so
Yeah,
then that's a
sir.
whole different way.
Playing the role of a human on earth.
Playing the role of a human on this earthly plane. What is that like? Okay, you're just putting on your outfit then. You're just putting on your creative moment is happening right now. This is your moment. I'm ready for my close up, Mr. DeVille. And it's like, okay, here we go. Action.
Right, and it's more like improv, right? So we get to choose in every moment of every day how we respond. And maybe we don't have full individuated control of our whole environment, like, Bruce Almighty, but we get to choose how we respond, which then the universe seems to respond to our response
It
to
does.
create the outer, whatever, 3D material world that we get to interact with.
The synergistic experience, right? The one within the many. We're all co-creating this world together.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I know some people want to know about the your thoughts of this whole law of attraction. It was very popular with The Secret. I was a big, fan of it. And wasn't so easy as what they said in the movie. And I was like, I have a negative thought. Oh no. Oh no. Are my negative thoughts more than my positive thoughts? That's terrible. You know? So I get into that judgment and that worry and all that kind of stuff and doing my best to change my thoughts. So give me your Terrence Lamont take on the whole law of attraction. Is it real? Is it not real? How does it apply here to immortality consciousness?
So it's a universal law. So it's absolutely real. And there's other universal laws, right? There's not just the law of attraction. There's one universal law, speaking of Jesus, that he gave us in words, which is seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all else will be added unto you. And so that means that you seek first the highest, your highest state, the best that you understand, the good that you know of, you reach for that. And that is heaven for you. And then that's when you start to receive the other things that you need. And so the law of attraction is embedded in that law, whereas the things come to you rather than they just dissipate and fly away. No, they come to your attention so you can see them. So that's how the law of attraction works. So what are you seeking becomes the reality, and not what are you putting on your vision board. You know, it's what are you actually really in depthly, deeply within the soul, within the deepest part of yourself, what are you actually seeking?
Oh,
that's what's coming back. So you might be doing it wrong in general, you know, if you don't know what you actually want, if you don't know what you're actually reaching and seeking.
Well, some people would say, well, I'm seeking the job promotion.
Yes.
Right. And then
I keep getting fired. I keep having this problem or this problem. I can't advance. My boss doesn't like me, but all the stuff. Right. Well, that's because you're not actually wanting the job advancement. That's not really what you want.
Uh-huh.
But you don't know. You're just going through the motions. You're doing what they told you.
We think that's going to give us whatever it is that we haven't labeled what we want yet. So we think we want the job promotion.
Yeah. So you have to go deeper and understand your real self. So I'll tell you a story about the secret and a lot of my own personal experience is how I learned this, because I had an experience, and this is where everything is in experience, is in what is your personal, what's happening for you? What are you actually experiencing? That's how you know. It's not by reading the books. It's not by following the teacher. It's by your real, this is me. This is what happened. This is, you know, this is what I know because it happened. You know, here I am.
Right.
This is what's going on. So there's, I'm going to, a bunch of plugs here. So you already said the secret, right? So the secret came out, I believe it was 2006, possibly.
Yes.
So I had watched it a couple of times. I didn't quite understand it. Like you're saying, I was like, what is this? Whatever, you know? And then I hooked up with this organization, this company called Primerica. And I have to say this, I've said a couple of different other thing names and stuff. Primerica is an incredible opportunity. It is a wonderful business model. It's very powerful. I believe in what it is doing and what it can do for people 100%. It wasn't for me, so I'm no longer engaged, right? But I learned so much from being engaged. And so one day, this is before I even found the School of Metaphysics, I'm sitting in a training for this. This is about insurance, about helping people, about making money. So we're watching The Secret. We got a
projector. Oh, in class?
In this class meeting.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Saturday morning.
Huh.
We're in here this Saturday morning. We're watching The Secret. And I'm starting to get in that same flow, that same rhythm of what is this? It's like, okay, I hear what they're saying. Great stories, you know, whatever. But what really is this? And in that moment, I hear, in that moment of release and surrender, to not be indoctrinated, to not just do whatever I'm being told, I went into this emptiness space, this kind of freedom space. And in that space, a guide told me to leave. Mm-hmm. An inner level being said, leave. Didn't give me any basic, you know, direction, really. It was just get out of here. And I heard that. And this was one of the first times I can ever really say that I heard something so clearly. And I heard it and I was just like, I looked behind me. Like immediately I was like, it's like there's somebody messing with me, you know, what's going on, you know? And then I went back to watching the movie and I heard it again, and it was louder and it was more abrupt. Leave now. And I was like, whoa, I was like, okay. So I got my stuff and you know, and just got up and left, you know, right in the middle of the meeting, right in the middle of watching the movie, everything, you know, I just left.
Wow.
And I had been dedicated to being in that meeting. We had this meeting every Saturday, right?
Yeah.
I was dedicated to be there because I knew the value and the power and the opportunity, everything, right? But I listened and I got up and I left. And I, so second plug, you know, I go across the street to a Borders. That was when those were still prominent kind of everywhere, right? And I would always go to this Borders because I could go in there and I could read my, it was my library, right? I would go and I would read these books and just hang out, drink coffee and not pay for anything. You know, I would just look through stuff and just relax and, you know, and so I was familiar with this place. So I figured that's what I'm going to go do. I don't know what's going on. I'm just going to go do my thing, right? And I go over there and on the, they had a glass door. On the glass door, there's a flyer for the School of Metaphysics for Dr. Laurel Clark doing a lecture in about an hour called The Law of Attraction and Other Secrets of Visualization. And I was blown away. I was like, what is happening? You know, like I was just over here with the Law of Attraction and now I'm over here with the less like, it's like, why did they tell me to leave? Who I didn't, I was just, my mind was blown. Right. I had no idea what was going on, but I said, listen to your guide, do what they said, just do it. And so I go into the Borders, I turn around and I see them over here. The School of Metaphysics people are kind of getting ready for the lecture in the coffee shop area. And I'm like, okay, this is really happening. You know, they're here. So I'm here. And so I go upstairs. It was a pretty big Borders. They had an upstairs. I go up there and I do my thing because that's where the metaphysical section was, you know. So I go up there and read some self-help books and stuff for like an hour. And then I'm like, okay, I guess I got to go down here. I mean, I got to leave. That's the only door to leave out of, you know. So whether I was going to go over there or not, I had to at least walk by them, you know. So I said, okay, I came down and I was guided to just go ahead and go sit down and listen to this lecture. And so this teacher, and she was the president of the school at that time, she's talking about the Law of Attraction in her book, you know, that she wrote, you know, it's a great book. And her aura was so big and bright. And I just couldn't stop listening to her. I followed every word. I heard everything she said. I was like, this is the law. Okay, now I understand. I was just seeking, right? What was I seeking, right? Mm. I'm looking at the secret and I'm not understanding the secret. So what do I want? I want to understand the secret. And the secret movie's not doing such a great job of helping me understand it. I know it's real. I know it exists, but I'm not really understanding it.
Gotcha.
And so I go over here and I find a teacher.
Wow.
To explain it to me. You know? And it was, right? So amazing. And so I'm like, wow. So people actually know how to do this. People actually care enough to spend an hour talking about this. She wrote a book, you know, to help people. This is important to her. She understands this. And so that drew me into the School of Metaphysics after seeing somebody who could teach and who wanted to give. And I bought the book. Everything, you know, so I was like, okay, this is what I wanted. What I wanted was the deep understanding. I didn't want to be entertained. You know, I didn't want to watch
right.
a movie.
Yeah, because right? it was kind of surface, right? We found out later. But it is entertaining for sure. And it did awake a lot of people to the possibilities. But then you were like desiring to go deeper, to really get it, to understand it, and to actually utilize it practically in your life.
So the universal properties of things that exist showed up in my life to give me that opportunity.
Yeah, that is cool. And speaking of opportunity, if people want to connect with you, I know you have this cool YouTube channel. People connect with you. Can you share with us the name of your YouTube channel?
Yeah, it is called We Are Valuable Media. So it's gone through several incarnations. I've had other people who I've worked with since 2011, actually. I've stuck with this idea of creating media that is valuable for people, that really does what I'm talking about, that helps us to go deeper, helps us to more fully understand ourselves. And what is that? Well, sometimes I tap in, you know, to that universal consciousness, to that understanding, that deep rooted sense of connection with ascended masters, Buddha, Jesus, you know, Lao Tzu. You know, sometimes I can get in contact with them and I can connect with them. Some people like to call it channeling. I don't really call it channeling, but I can speak through that connection and I can share. So that's one way that I use We Are Valuable Media. And another way is I started talking about my lock journey. Like, I had a strong thought process, like you were saying, when I was young, that my hair had to look a certain way. I believed that my hair had to look a certain way. You know, it had to be fairly short and cut in a certain way. I had to go to the barber and spend, you know, however much money it has been over the last 40 years, you know, $5, $10, $15, $20 to $30, whatever it is, I got to pay this and I got to get this guy who knows what he's doing to cut my hair with these clippers. And that's the only way I can be. I believed that for a long time. But then as my consciousness started to shift and become more homogenous, I started to understand that I could do many different things with my hair, you know. So that's something that I made a video about, posted about, and I have also Facebook. There's some Facebook pages out there called We Are Valuable Media.
Okay.
So so people can connect with me on both of those.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. So what we'll do is link those with the podcast so people can find you. That's great. Now. Yeah. Terrence Lamont, before we go, I would love for you to share maybe your personal way of how does one connect to that infinite and nothingness, you know, that still point. How is it that you get there?
That's a really good question. Yeah. So one of the ways that I have been doing it is really it's the simplest way possible. It's through what I was saying earlier, and I have never said this before, but I like it. It's funny. Through just shutting up. You know, through just sitting down and being quiet. And we like to call that meditation, right? There's one, you know, you can breathe with it. You can get yourself to a state of relaxation through breathing and then just be quiet. And you can hear the truth. But some people will tell you, just like the law of attraction, oh, it doesn't work. Meditation doesn't work. I sit down and I have all these thoughts and I can't stop my mind from going, you know. And it's like, guess what? It's not the point to stop anything, to stop the thoughts. Mm. It's just for you to stop. So as you sit and relax, the thoughts, your mind is not going to stop. Your mind doesn't shut down and not exist. You know, you still have a mind, so you're gonna have the thoughts. So then you just allow, and as you continue to allow and just be present, just keep breathing, then the truth will show up. What you need from the inward silence will show up in the silence. You will hear it, you will see it, you will know it. So you just keep doing that consistently. And you will get to that point.
Cool. Very cool. Yeah, I've always noticed that when the guidance comes in, now, you know, in your one case where they said leave now, that's pretty loud. Mine tends to be very subtle, if it's going to be something like that, and very nonchalant, very no attachment, just kind of a thing, you know? Yeah. Like sometimes people think that they're intuitive. Yeah, guidance is like, you got to do this now or else. And I'm like, I don't think that's your intuition.
Well, they're missing it. In that case, they're missing it. You know, they're not there because of what I'm saying about the silence. It's like, how do we be silent?
Yeah. So, yeah, that is definitely the key. I have my way. You know, I teach stillness through observing internal movement. And because my mind is like, you know, I notice that as long as I get into the body, That helps me a lot. Like if I
That's
just
the other, yes.
feel my body, then my mind just goes, oh, what do you want me to do? Okay, I'm feeling. All right. What am I
Yep.
feeling? And it just
That's
gets so busy doing that that it doesn't have time to do
it doesn't
anything
have time to
else.
think. Yeah. Yes.
That's my little trick. That's my little trick.
That's another wonderful way. Yeah, get into the senses, right? You know, just feel into whatever is actually occurring out in the world. Yeah.
Well, and actually the silence one I really enjoy too, because we're I'm experimenting with how to teach. I call it Stillness 360, but this particular one is being aware of the sounds around me in all of its totality. So behind me, in front of me, to the sides. So I'm outside in my little pyramid sitting down, and so I'm hearing a bird here, and then I hear the wind over here. And then I hear the UPS truck over here, and it's just this amalgamation of these sounds. As my attention is trying to take it all in simultaneously, because before, if I'm doing something focused, like I'm reading or my cell phone, I don't know there's any sound. Like I'm totally ignoring what's there, right? But if I'm like just focused on everything in the peripheral, it's like that's another doorway to stillness. The body is one of my doorways, and so now I'm experimenting with the clairaudience, if you will. It seems like you're very clairaudient, so the hearing as the other,
Yes.
and it gets me seemingly to the same place. So it's kind of neat. I love these experiments. It's so fun.
It's fun, right? It's just, and that's the other part is have fun. Enjoy yourself. You
I was just
know?
gonna say, like, your takeaway, another takeaway that this is it, it's like enjoy your lives. It's like I tend to be so serious, but as you can see, folks, we laugh a lot, Terrence Lamont and I, we're together.
Yes.
So, oh man, this is great. Well, Terrence Lamont, thank you so much for being here today. I had such a great time chatting with you and talking about immortality, consciousness, and all sorts of other things. And so we are Valuable Media on YouTube and also on Facebook is where people can connect to you. And
Absolutely. Yeah.
and it's been wonderful being in the sacred economy movement with you.
Yes.
It's just really great. Just the
Such a
growth
blessing.
and just the totally feel blessed. So I want to thank you, Terrence Ma, for being here today and spending your time with
Yeah, thank you for inviting me, Dr. Karen. This is wonderful.
us. My
Love to do it
pleasure.
again. Definitely love to do it again.
And then everyone who's listening in or watching, please make sure that you check Terrence's links out here. And then if you're not in my community, the Light Medicine community, we also invite you there for free just to connect in a heart-based way to like-minded souls or with like-minded souls. And thank you so much for tuning in. And until next time, we'll see you on the next Light Warrior Radio episode. Bye for now. Big love,
Bye, everybody.
everyone.